Good morning. This is To Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with Kevin Eckerson. He is an orthotic specialist in Southern Oregon, reaching this whole region with his wisdom. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
So let's talk about this percent of the population that has foot problems but may not have a foot, you know, that hurts, which is 87%. That's a pretty big number.
Yes, it is. It's darn near 90%. and it does include people with foot pain, but not everybody that has a foot-related problem has foot pain. Sometimes it's back pain or neck pain or knee
right.
or hip.
Well, you know, I've noticed just about in my day in the grocery store, in the bank, where, you know, wherever I go, I watch people walk, and they... Such a large percentage of us are limping.
Oh, yes.
And so, like, what is going on? It's like there's an epidemic of not right.
Yeah, there's a lot of things wrong in our culture with our bodies, and a lot of it has to do with shoes, and a lot of it has to do, of course, with lifestyle, dietary choices, exercise quantity, things like that.
Okay, well, let's start with... What are the things that give us feet problems and that might not even manifest as a foot pain, so you don't even know? Like, when you go to the doctor and you have something wrong, a lot of times you don't know what it is that's wrong. You just
right.
know that there's something wrong. So if you don't give them a clue, how are they supposed to get it right?
Exactly. Well, the thing with feet is that it's the tripod. Each foot is a tripod with three arches, and it's the alignment that you stand on. And any time that there's any misalignment in the foot, it will travel up the body and create some kind of tension somewhere, and in many cases, eventually pain. And the issue is mainly centered around the fact that with our current lifestyle, we pretty much need to wear shoes most of the time. And that's the thing that distorts our feet and puts them out of alignment so that we lose our correct posture, basically.
Okay, so if it's shoes, and let's delve into shoes. Shoes are tricky. I mean, a lot of people are wearing either sandals, slippers, or some kind of athletic shoe. Not that many people spend their day in either pumps or dress shoes. You know, the number of people wearing those has gone way down. And people are often wearing completely unsupported or with a pre-built, like in a tennis shoe, they're in a pre-made support.
Probably the biggest category of shoes that are selling are basically inexpensive athletic shoes of some kind or another, whether they're walking shoes or just casual athletic shoes or designed to be something sturdier like a cross-training shoe, they still, by and large, are made with poor quality materials to keep the price down so that they can offer you lots of options in color and style. And consequently, you get a shoe that within a few months starts to break down and become a detriment to your posture.
Oh, so it might have been not bad to begin with. It's just that we wear them for too long.
Right. If it's bad to begin with, it's probably related to sizing as well. And that's a common problem in this country. People don't really know how to fit their shoes. The clerks don't know how to fit shoes. And so in most cases, people end up with a shoe that's a little bit too small. And they think that's the way it's supposed to fit, but unfortunately it restricts toe movement and throws the body out of balance.
Okay, so if you're in the process of buying shoes and you want to make sure you get the right size, you want to avoid that problem, what do you do?
Yes.
Tell me, what do you do?
Well, my recommendation based on many, many years of doing this is to try a bigger size. Walk around in the shoe that you normally buy, say you buy an 8, put it on, walk around the store a little bit. Then try the 8.5, and then maybe try the 9 and see what happens. You'll know when it's too big, but you may find that you are more comfortable in a shoe that's larger than what you've been buying. And you can't go by the number. It's a starting point, but an 8 is not an 8 is not an 8.
Because just like with clothing, every manufacturer has their own standards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a good example is a certain shoemaker in Beaverton will source their shoe out of at least 9 different countries. And so there's going to be a lot of variation in how those are lasted and how they're sized.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I know that a lot of people think that for the rest of their lives, they should be in the same size as they were when they were 18. And so what's wrong with that?
Well, it doesn't really work that way. Bodies change with time. And most people's feet spread a little bit one way or another, widthwise or lengthwise, throughout their lifetime. And on average, it's about a half a size every 5 to 7 years. So some people won't stretch, but some people will stretch a lot.
Oh, so, okay, so if you do that a half a size every 5 to 7 years, by the time you're 50, you ought to be in quite a bit bigger shoe.
In most cases, yes.
Yeah.
Also, awareness will build as you realize that you've been buying a shoe that's restricting your foot, and you start to buy a little bit roomier shoe, you're going to have a bigger size, even if it's still, you know,
and
your same foot.
And then let's talk about width. You know, there used to be this notion that a narrow foot, at least for a woman, was more attractive. And my mother, with her big, clunky size 9, I mean, right, thought that she was a triple A. And she shoved her fat feet into those shoes and was miserable. And I'm like, what is that about?
Well, I think our cultural norm there has shifted a little, and people are less concerned about having a narrow foot stuffed into a very pretty shoe. That's more of a going out on Saturday night thing now. And so there's something good there happening.
Yeah, that is.
However,
good.
it's not beneficial to the foot for it to be restricted in almost always.
So if you put on a shoe that you think you want to buy, and you feel the sides of the shoe on your feet, you probably need to get a wider shoe, right?
Or go up a half a size, because when you go up a half a size, it gets a little bit wider. When you go up a half a size, you get a little bit wider shoe, and your toes will be in a wider place in the shoe, because the shoe is also longer. Typically, the shoe is too narrow at the front, and backing up the foot a little bit in there gives you a little more space. The toes are supposed to be the widest part of your foot. That's how you get your stability when you bend your knee and move your weight forward. If the toes are restricted, it throws you off balance.
Well, that's great. I hope people that are listening to this will go get some bigger shoes, wider and whatever. And what about shoes that are inclined, shoes that are declined? Do you have thoughts about that?
Definitely.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Definitely. Earth shoe proved in the past that a heel lower than the ball of the foot is not a good design, caused a lot of people problems. Heel lift, likewise, is a problem, not quite as obvious, and consequently we have a lot of shoes that have a lifted heel. It is a little bit out of balance and causes you to have the experience of walking downhill all the time, which causes you to have incorrect posture. And then your body trains to that over time, and then it's difficult to get correct posture.
Uh-huh. Okay, so flat sounds like the way to roll.
As close to flat as you can get.
Okay. And let's talk about what happens when we age, where the foot either contracts or flattens out. Let's talk about those two scenarios that we see. And how to know if that's what's happening with you and what to do about it.
Sure. Well, the foot will change with time, and it will go up or down depending on the environment that you give it. So the arch can get higher or it can flatten out, as you say. And it has to do with the shoes you're wearing and the lifestyle that you have. And it basically molds to the shoe. If you wear flip-flops every day, your feet are going to tend to spread out a little bit more. Arches will tend to come down. If you wear a shoe with a lot of support, it's going to lift your arch up. Things like dietary changes can also have an effect on that. The important thing is to be aware that your feet will change, and in most cases, and that you should, you know, always be open to buying a different kind of shoe than what you're used to wearing.
Okay, and what about like people that work on concrete, whether they're, you know, a hospital staff or they work in a retail store where they're just on, they're walking on concrete all day long? What would you recommend?
That's very tiresome.
Right.
The important thing there is to be aware that, that concrete is not a natural environment, and standing and walking on it all day long is very stressful to the body,
mm-hmm.
Especially with wearing shoes because of the restriction to the feet. Looser shoes will help. Extra cushioning isn't necessarily a better solution. Sometimes that will create back problems because it creates more motion. If you, for example, stand on padded mats, it will make more movement in the ankle and knee, which puts more tension in the back and neck.
Oh, that doesn't sound right.
So, and with shoes, if you go to a more padded shoe, a lot of times the padding starts to break down and you end up misaligned because the shoe has soft padding.
Do you recommend any brands or no? Do you stay away from brands?
I don't recommend any brand in particular. What I feel is important is to try on the shoes, find the brand that works for you, and be aware that that brand could change what they're doing, and you could have to drop that from your options. I used to buy Salomon shoes consistently for probably about 10 years, and then all of a sudden they changed how they make them, and I couldn't wear them anymore, none of them.
Wow. All right, so let's go back to the scenario where the person wears flip-flops all the time and their foot has spread out and they've basically got a pancake at the bottom of their legs. Two pancakes. So people will say, well, I only wear sandals and flip-flops because it's the only thing that's comfortable. And you can see why trying to put that fat thing in into a cage of a shoe is going to be confining, because I think what they're thinking of is the shoe they used to wear, which is clearly too small.
Yes.
Right, that's part of the problem.
The flip-flop is what would you call it, an innate reaction. The body's trying to correct the problem of the restricted foot by choosing an unrestricted design. Flip-flops are great in that respect. Unfortunately, there's a couple of negative aspects to them. They don't last very long in most cases. They're made of good solid materials and they don't have a lot of squish, then they're going to be okay. But if they're typical cheap ones, then they break down and get distorted and put you out of alignment. The other problem is that gripping with the toes is excessive when walking with a flip-flop, and it changes how you walk, and it's not quite a natural gait cycle.
Uh-huh. And over time, does that cause problems itself?
In many cases, yes.
Uh-huh.
My recommendation for flip-flops is part-time, not all the time.
Part-time, okay. And then that person probably needs to be looking at a bigger shoe than they think they should be looking at.
Exactly. Okay. Or hunting for a style that has a more squared-off toe box area so that it doesn't restrict the toes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, with many of the shoes we have nowadays, they've gone to the squared-off toe box, which is good, but they've added too much toe spring, which is where the toe curves upward from the ground. And that is a real problem because it jacks your toes up into the air and leaves you vulnerable and without good balance from your toes.
Whoa. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. You're listening to Your Health, and I'm talking with Kevin Eckerson, who's an orthotic specialist. We'll be right back. With Kevin Eckerson about our feet and our health. So I want to talk about some of the other faraway consequences, like back pain. I've seen over the years patients' chronic back pain go away when they get in orthotics and they get their all their weight off their heels. So what is happening when you do that? I mean, what happens when you put on orthotics, and why does shifting the weight make a difference?
Yes, the issue with a lot of back pain, probably the most common problem, is lower back pain, and it's a real simple situation there. The knees are locked.
That's
in
true.
Hyperextension.
The knees are locked.
And that's because the toes are restricted, and so the brain says, hey, you know, when I put my weight forward, I'm not stable. So I'm going to lock my knees back and put my weight on my heels, and then I can stand that way, and I'll be okay. Unfortunately, it puts tension in the lower back, which ends up causing a lot of pain in the long run. They think it's their back that's messed up, but it's really just posture. Proper posture, when you stand barefoot, is with your knees unlocked and basically centered over the middle of your arch. Well, it's hard to do that when your toes are restricted. In fact, it's unconscious to lock your knees, and people train themselves to stand and walk that way. When an orthotic is fitted correctly and has metatarsal arch support, that supports the front half of the arch, and then the brain says, okay, I can bring my knees forward a little bit, put some weight on the forefoot, and I won't be unstable. It's something to balance on.
And
over time, the body can retrain to that.
Right. It's not that long. And I've seen people in 3 to 4 weeks, you know, that chronic back problem just melts away.
Well, the initial problem will melt away right away because the orthotic is correcting the posture. But it will take 1 to 2 years in most cases for the person to train to that, to the point where when they're barefoot, like in the shower, mm-hmm. they don't lock their knees anymore.
I still find myself with knees locked at times. And
some people will do that.
It's been however many years. You know, it's been, whatever,
yeah.
15 years?
And... 2006, I think.
Oh, that's like 9 years.
Yeah, maybe longer than that.
Yeah, it's amazing that we get these patterns and then they hold. You know, I mean, they become lifelong patterns if we don't do something to change them.
Well, yeah, because we're repeating the same behavior over and over.
I guess
keep,
so.
Keep training the body to do the wrong thing.
Right. So,
neck and shoulder muscle tension is also related to that, because when your lower back is put in a bind like that, then you have to kind of arch your back and tilt your head back a little bit to be looking straight ahead.
Oh, then you have a lot more stress in your upper back and your neck.
Exactly.
Yeah. So orthotics come in lots of materials and from lots of different people. There's everything from custom-made ones to pre-made ones. I think we should talk about some of the options out there and the positives and the negatives.
Sure. There's a lot of variation, a lot of variation in philosophy and a lot of variation in what's being accomplished. Sometimes a doctor will make an orthotic that's specifically for a particular situation, and they'll cast and try to adjust it and, you know, treat one symptom.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, it will be fitting a corrective orthotic that is balanced in nature and designed to reposition the entire foot into a new alignment. Sometimes, doctors will recommend just go to the store and buy a cheap arch support, see if that works. Sometimes that will work, but in most cases, it doesn't really work out in the long run, because if it's helping you and it's $25 or $30 and you got to buy them twice a year, that gets pretty expensive.
Right, yeah. So what about materials? There's foam and plastic and...
Yes, there's a wide variety there. Foams tend to break down and retain bacteria.
Uh-huh. Oh, bacteria?
Get stinky and all that kind of stuff. Leather ones tend to break down and retain bacteria.
Uh-huh.
Even when they're treated, eventually, since they're porous, they pick that
right.
stuff up.
Oh, then they're the ones that are leather with cork.
Uh-huh. And the cork will change over time in its
sure.
shape.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what about gel?
Gel, it's my experience with that says that there is a small number of people that do great on gel, and the vast majority of people generally feel better for the first few days or first week or two that they wear them, and then they realize they're causing other problems.
Is it, again, like the padding in shoes, that there's too much motion?
Exactly. Too squishy.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Too squishy. You've got to have more firmness. Okay, so
the natural environment for the foot is the earth, and the earth is only moderately squishy and only in spots.
Right. Well, yeah, you have, like, if you're walking in the forest, you know, you're under a bunch of, the dirt might be soft, and then you come across a root, and then that's hard.
Yeah. And if you're walking across a meadow, a lot of times that ground's going to be pretty firm.
That's true. And then if you're at the beach, there's the hard sand, the soft sand.
Right.
Yeah.
The foot will do quite well in a hard environment if it's unrestricted. Rickshaw runners in Vietnam, in a study that I read, had the healthiest feet of the entire population, and they were running barefoot in the streets pulling carts. And the streets were rough and hard, but the difference is that they weren't wearing shoes.
Wow. Okay, so then all these people who have foot and back problems who walk on concrete all day, they might do better if they change their shoes.
That would help. Adding orthotics would help because it compensates for what the shoe is doing to your foot. Going barefoot on the weekend would be a great idea too when you can.
Okay, so going back to picking an orthotic, people will say to me, I got this new orthotic and it just felt great. And then I think, oh God, you put it on and it felt great? How could it be fixing anything? You know, because what we go through is a break-in process where people hate me for a while. And then they feel better later. But if you feel great in a new orthotic, doesn't that mean that it's basically supporting that whatever's wrong?
Not necessarily. Some people are, their body is very receptive to correction, and other bodies are resistant. And it's just a matter of going with what works for you. If the orthotic is comfortable right away, then you'll be adjusted to it in 1 to 2 weeks. If you're a person who has a body that's resistant, then it may take 2 or 3 months, or maybe even a little longer.
Right. Well, and most of the time with teenagers and children, they are amazingly quick at responding.
Their bodies are very pliable.
So you don't think that if a person puts on an orthotic and it feels good, that it means that the orthotic isn't right?
Not necessarily.
Okay, all right. That always makes me a little worried that they're you know, like they're putting on flip-flops.
With the type of orthotic that we work with, if that's the case, in most cases that means you've got a real good fit and a real good person that's going to adapt quickly.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I think the last guy I had is still mad at me. He's having a very rough transition.
Well, you can always refer people to me for any kind of problem and I will correct it.
Okay. So I want to go back to what else people can do when their feet are a mess, when they're hurting. What can they do at home to make their feet feel better?
Well, one good thing to do is massage your feet or get someone that you can trade foot massages with.
Nice.
And it only takes a few minutes to do something that actually will help you. 3 to 5 minutes of rubbing your feet or rolling your foot on a golf ball on the floor works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Icing them in a bath of ice water can be very helpful if you're inclined to do that for 10 to 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It stimulates natural healing processes. Going barefoot in the house or in very soft, loose-fitting, thin slippers of some kind or another that don't make you walk funny. If you're walking funny, you're training your body into an incorrect posture.
Uh-huh. So you don't want that.
So if, like, the slippers are too loose or too tight, it will change how you walk.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you have calluses, it's usually related to too much pressure in that area, and your brain is trying to build up the skin to protect that. It's helped with orthotics, but it also can be relieved by putting olive oil on it and using or bag balm or using a callus sanding device. But if you don't take the pressure away, it'll want to keep coming back.
Sure. So one of my colleagues is works in the ER, and he said we had this running joke about foot pain. He goes, "Oh yeah, everybody's got plantar fasciitis," and you know, that's what he sees all day long in the ER. And I guess that's what they diagnose, you know, if you have foot pain. Do you agree that the majority of people with that actually have foot pain, that's what they have, is inflammation in their fascia and their feet?
Well, there is a lot of that out there, and it can be specifically in the heel, or it can be up into the arch area. Depends on the situation.
Yeah, I see both.
It's really a function of the toe restriction and having no support in the arch to compensate for that.
So all of the above apply.
Yes.
Ice massage, get in proper size shoes, and put some orthotics on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go barefoot on the beach when you get a chance. And my recommendation there is start with the wet sand. Don't go out if you don't go to the beach very often and spend 2 hours walking barefoot in dry sand, or you'll be so sore the next day you won't be able to walk. Got to work up to that.
Okay, so it's easier to actually work. Well, sure, you're not going to dig in as much. Yeah, in the. That sounds great. Well, it's not raining now, so maybe this will be a good day to do that.
Grass is excellent. If you go to the park, walk barefoot a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You know, be smart. Watch for pine needles, and don't go to the dog park to do that. But you know, it's very helpful.
Oh God, yeah. Okay, so is there anything else for plantar fasciitis you would recommend?
Well, definitely getting a certified reflexologist to work on that foot would help in most cases. But the biggest factor is bigger shoes.
Bigger shoes.
Or getting out of shoes.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds great. Now, what about that people love to get in heat? They love to, you know, hot baths, and they love to get in the hot tub, and they love to soak their feet in a hot bath. I mean, you recommended an ice bath, but people want everything hot.
Well, I think a hot bath is also helpful.
But that's an overall
extent.
Bath. That's not just focused on your feet.
Oh, either way.
Oh, okay.
Hot bath for the feet can be very useful. And, you know, old wives' tale, it can get rid of the cold.
All right. Well, I suppose someone should try that and let us know if it does.
That's right. Really, it's, you know, do you take a hot shower in the morning or a cold shower? With whatever works for you.
Well, yeah, for me, it wouldn't be a cold one. That sounds awful in the morning.
Exactly. We should probably talk about how we fit the orthotics.
Okay.
A cast orthotic that's molded to the foot is basically a copy of the arch and is made specifically for that foot, and so there's no kind of sizing involved. Corrective orthotic will involve sizing, because what is happening there is we're putting the foot on the shape of a healthy arch, but it needs to be the appropriate size that fits the bone structure. And so in that case, the person will come to you and get measured, and then that is faxed to our office, and then we can fulfill the prescription of the orthotic. So it's a very easy process.
Yeah, that it's very easy, and it's it doesn't cause any pain at all.
Exactly, and you don't have to sit with
after.
Your feet up.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, if someone's thinking about getting orthotics, the best time to get new shoes would be after you have them, because you probably have to size up a little bit to fit the orthotics in your shoes.
It's definitely a good idea to try shoes on in the store with orthotics that you have, or that they're compatible. Some shoes actually have arch built in, to the point where if you take out the inner sole and put the orthotic in there, there's too much arch in the bottom portion of the shoe, and it still causes a problem with the orthotic. And if you put it on and wear it around for a minute, then you realize, oh, that's pushing up in the wrong spot now, and I don't think that's going to work. Try a shoe that's a little bit different, and you realize, oh, it's this one's flat inside. The orthotic feels like it should. I'm used to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I should go right there.
Right, right. Yeah, we always recommend people look in the shoe they're looking at buying, and if there's something pre-made in there, take it out.
The orthotics that we use will fit in most shoes as they are without removing anything. But
except
like you
if
said,
they, yeah. But if they have an arch in there, you want to take
but
that
if,
out.
Yeah, and if it's even if it's not an arch, but if it's a foam insole, it's going to compress and distort, and it's best to pull it out.
Uh-huh. So you want to make sure that it's going to fit.
With the soft steps, they're corrective so that you don't have to wear them every single day. They're training devices. And so, for example, on days that I don't wear them, I don't wear anything in my shoe, no insole at all. And it's a little bit roomier without the orthotic, but it's not a problem because my foot has been trained to handle that.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, my guest today has been Kevin Eckerson. He's an orthotic specialist in Southern Oregon. And you've been listening to Your Health. Thank you so much, Kevin. It's been great. I feel all charged up about feet again.
It's great to talk to you again, Dr. Goldine.